today on The Journey.
Matthew's story reminds us that God's grace covers every sin, and He wants to extend that grace as we invite people to hear the message of Jesus Christ.
Did you hear Christ's call? Did you say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you"? If so, who do you want to join you? And who would you rather not take along? Those are the questions Ron Moore addresses in today's broadcast. Listen to discover a little bit of your own heart and a lot more of God's. Before that, I want you to know about Living Grounded. It's a fully illustrated interactive study of the foundational truths underlying the Christian faith. Living Grounded is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you how to get yours later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Fishers of Men on the Journey.
I want to begin today with a question. Maybe it's a question you haven't thought about. Maybe you've thought about it a lot. Who is the very last person you want to see in heaven? You thought about that? Maybe some of you have been thinking about it a whole lot. The very last person you want to see in heaven, the person in your mind who really doesn't deserve God's grace. Maybe it's ISIS standing behind an innocent person with a dagger and then doing the unthinkable right there on video for all the world to see. Does that person deserve God's grace? Maybe for you, it gets personal. It's a boss, an arrogant boss, who at some point derailed your career. And years later, you still can point back and you wonder, where would I be? What would I be doing if not for that one individual? Maybe it's someone who has really hurt your family along the way. Who is it that would be the last person you want to see in heaven? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, as we continue our series on the life of Christ. Today we're going to consider an encounter at the Sea of Galilee that helps us understand the extent of God's grace, this free offering that God gives unconditionally. This story is recorded here in Matthew chapter 9. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 2 and Luke chapter 5. Each writer contributes significant insight to the story. Let me set the context of the story, then I want to read the story and then make four observations. At this point in the life of Christ, he is headquartered in Capernaum, right north of the Sea of Galilee. According to the Gospel of Mark, on this particular morning, Jesus goes out for a walk by the Sea of Galilee. He did that often. We don't know why he went. Maybe he went to pray. Maybe he went to get away from Peter's house where he was staying just to get some time alone. Jesus spends so much time by the Sea of Galilee, a lot of commentators think that was something he loved. On this day, Jesus wasn't alone for long because a crowd gathered. They always did wherever Jesus was, particularly at this time in Jesus' ministry. This is called the time of popularity, and everyone in Capernaum knew who Jesus was. Everyone in Capernaum knew what Jesus was teaching. They had heard and seen his miracles. In fact, just a few days earlier, Jesus had raised this man who was paralyzed. In Mark chapter 9, gives the story. So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them, and he took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. And check this out. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen what? We've seen remarkable things today." So on that day, Jesus is by the shore, and people have gathered. And here's what happens, Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he said, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. There Jesus quoting from Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners. Now, if you were a Jew, the last person you would want to see in heaven was a tax collector. Those two words would make your blood boil. Tax collectors were thieves, they were robbers, they were extortionists, and they were living the high life with your hard-earned money. There is only one person the Jews hated more than a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector. The Jewish tax collector was a person who had sold out. They had left the worship of God. They could no longer go to the synagogues. They were excommunicated from the synagogue. They could no longer be a witness in a court of law because they were so dishonest. And they had sided with Rome, and Rome was taxing the Jews into poverty. Rome taxed for everything. There were real estate taxes, import-export taxes. There were taxes on grain. There were taxes on fruit. There was a man's income tax, a 1% of everything he made. There were road taxes. Anytime you went anywhere, everything they could tax, they taxed. Now, if you were a Roman, you could at least say, well, they give us some raunchy entertainment in the theaters for it. But the Jews said, we want no part of that. Our life is separated from that. We desire to worship God. We don't want to associate with immoral things. We don't want to associate with immoral people. Hated the tax collectors. Now, Rome decided the cheapest way to collect taxes was to sell tax franchise. McDonald's was not the first to do this. So they sold these franchises to the highest bidder in a particular area. So you bought a franchise to do the taxes. And then you hired people to collect the taxes. There were two types of tax collectors. There was one called the Gabbai, and they were kind of the general tax collectors. They did property tax and income tax and poll taxes. And then there was a group called the Mokis, and they did the import taxes and export taxes, taxes on goods and on travel. There were two kinds of Mokis. There were the great Mokis, who were the franchise owners. And then there were the little Mokis that actually manned the tax offices, the CEOs, COOs, or CFOs. Matthew was a little Moki, because he was actually manning the tax office. And the great Mokis, they stayed in the background. No one really knew who they were. They just knew there were a lot of wealthy men around, but they didn't always know the owners. But the little Mokis, they were the face of the hated occupation. Matthew was the worst of the worst. Tax collector and sinner, I mean, they were synonymous words. And Matthew had a great gig. He had a tax station located by the Sea of Galilee, so he got a lot of the taxes coming in from fishermen on the sea. And he was located on what was called the Great West Road. And it ran from Arabia all the way across to the Mediterranean Sea. And so if you had some Arabian goods and you wanted to take them to the sea to get on a Phoenician ship to go west to Spain or wherever, you had to go through Matthew's booth. And he always got a piece of the pie. But Jesus looked Matthew right in the eyes. This robber, this thief, this extortionist, this traitor, this man living in blatant materialism, this man who had forfeited his Jewish roots for money, this man who had sided with the oppressive Roman government. And Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, follow me. Follow me. Think about what the other disciples thought. Jesus, you've got to be kidding. Matthew, you are offering an opportunity to follow you to Matthew? Now remember, among the disciples, there were at least two zealots. And zealots were those who wanted to forcibly and violently overtake the Roman government. And here Matthew works for the Roman government. And then there were fishermen. And there were days when they either stood before Matthew or guys like Matthew to pay the taxes. that they brought in from the sea. And now Jesus is saying, Matthew, follow me. One commentator says, it is almost impossible to believe that the disciples could get along with each other for 5 minutes. Except for the presence of Jesus. He always changes things, doesn't he? The person of Jesus and the grace that Jesus offers. Here's the first observation from this story. God's mercy through Jesus pardons the greatest sin. God's grace through Jesus satisfies the greatest sinner. See, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how terrible you think of yourself or your past. Jesus Christ came to pay for your sin. And that person that you don't want to be in heaven, that last person you want to see, that person who has done things that are unthinkable, yeah, Jesus died for that person's sin as well. God's mercy through Jesus pardons the greatest sin. God's grace through Jesus satisfies the greatest sinner. And his grace is for all who will come. He came to seek and save those who were lost. And that includes all of mankind. Here's the second point. When Jesus says, follow me, it's a gracious call to a brand new life. When Jesus was on earth, there were a lot of other Jewish teachers who called themselves rabbis. And each of these rabbis had a group following them called disciples. The Greek word for disciple means a learner. So these rabbis would have this group following them, and the purpose of the group was to follow the rabbi, to learn everything the rabbi said, to memorize everything the rabbi said as he went to other places and taught. They were to memorize, and then they were to pass that information on. But there was something different about Jesus. When he called people to follow him, there's a different tense of the word that he uses, and it doesn't mean follow me, like get in line behind me. When Jesus calls disciples to follow him and us, the word is follow with me, follow beside me. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus wants us to walk right with him. The creator of the universe, God in the flesh, says, I don't want to walk and you follow behind me. I want you to be right with me. I want you to experience the greatest adventure in your life. I want you to understand grace. I want you to feel grace poured over you and your sins washed away. Follow is a gracious call that Jesus gives us. Have you accepted the call to follow Jesus Christ? The disciples were shocked that Jesus would look at Matthew and say, follow me. They were even more shocked that Matthew followed. Matthew had the best life that you could imagine if you're into materialism. He had a great gig. But Luke says, Matthew left everything to follow Jesus. Matthew was not willing to hold on to one thing that would hold him back of full-out, full-orbed following Jesus. Matthew left everything. There are a lot of believers today who think that they can have Jesus and everything else too. They can have Jesus as a good insurance policy for when they die. But then they can have everything in the world that they desire and they want. So they can accept Jesus or trust in Jesus or invite Jesus into their heart, but they don't have to follow him. In his book, Who Speaks for God, Charles Colson tells a story about an infamous gangster in Chicago, Mickey Cohen. And if you Google the famous gangsters in Chicago, Mickey Cohen is one of the five that comes up. One evening, Cohen went to an evangelistic meeting that was held in Chicago. And everyone there, they were shocked that Mickey Cohen was at the meeting. And they thought, man, because we like Christian celebrities, right? What a catch Mickey Cohen would be. So they started sending people to talk to Mickey Cohen. And after one long session, they urged him to open his heart to Christ, and Cohen responded. They were so excited in Chicago. But then many months passed, and there was no change in his life. He was still involved in a life of crime. He was still a gangster. And so some people went to confront him, and they told him, what's up with this? Why are you still a gangster? And he said, well, time out. You didn't tell me I had to give up my work. I mean, there are Christian baseball players, Christian football players, Christian cowboys and politicians. Why not a Christian gangster? We might laugh at Cohen, but some people are just as confused today, aren't they? I can have that insurance policy of Jesus, but not really have him, because I really want to follow my own desires, my own inclinations. So the question is, have you left everything holding you back to follow Jesus? What are you holding on to? Are you willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? Are you willing to let down all those anchors that are holding you back, all that stuff in your past, maybe in your present? Are you willing to let those things go to follow Jesus? Remember, Matthew left everything to follow him. Here's the third observation from this story. A real work of grace is never kept secret. The very first thing that Matthew does as a follower of Jesus Christ is to go out, and Luke says he put on this huge banquet. He had a nice home, and he used the home to put on this beautiful banquet. They say in those homes there were these halls that people ate. The ceilings were about 20 feet high, they were 50 feet long, and they were about 20 feet wide. And that's where the great banquets were held in these homes, and that's probably where Matthew went, and he called all the people he knew, right? Who were those people he knew? They were the outcasts, other tax collectors, and sinners. When Matthew and the other gospel writers use the word sinner, notorious sinners, those who are living a lifestyle of sin, those were the only people that Matthew knew, and those were the people he desired to hear the message of Jesus Christ. So here's a question for you. Who's the last person you invited to hear the message of Jesus Christ? When we have a cool restaurant, we tell everybody about it. Have you eaten at that new restaurant? Now, for me, it's a diner. Have you eaten at that diner? And a diner is only a diner if they serve breakfast all day long, just so we're clear on that. Have you eaten at that? That's awesome. Something else happens in your life, a great sale going on. Man, you got to go check this out. Why are we so reluctant to share Jesus? We share things that are important to us, don't we? George Barna said 82%, over 8 out of 10 people who don't go to church would if someone who did go to church invited them. It's an amazing statistic. Thanksgiving and Christmas is a beautiful opportunity for every believer to share Jesus Christ, to let people really know who this holiday, holy day, is about. Jesus Christ, why he came, what he did, and how he's changed your life. You see, that's what people want to know. So I've heard about Jesus. I can see all this stuff about Jesus. I can watch these television preachers about Jesus. I want to know, how did he change your life? Because you're my friend. How has he changed your life? Why is he important to you? Because since you're my friend and he's important to you, I want to hear more about that. Man, what a tremendous opportunity. That's the first thing that Matthew does. He shares Jesus. Well, the word got around, and the Pharisees didn't appreciate. Jesus was hanging out with tax collectors for one and notorious sinners for another. And so they went to his disciples and they said, why does your master, that guy you follow, why does he hang out with the riffraff, the outcast, the known sinners? Jesus heard about it, and look at verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. If you think you're spiritually healthy, you're not. But I didn't come for you. I came for those who know they're sick, and I'm in a room with people who know they're sick. And then he quoted Hosea chapter 6, but go and learn this. This would have been a stinging remark to those Pharisees who were the learned of their day, the experts in the law. Jesus says, hey, you go and learn something. What Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus uses the word sacrifice to include the entire religious system that you've sold out to. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That sacrifice is preparing for me, the Lamb of God, to come, the Savior. I desire that you accept my forgiveness and you extend it to others. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So Pharisees, if you think you're righteous, if you think you can work your way to God on your own, if you think by keeping all these laws you can somehow be good enough for God, then knock yourself out. Because I need you first to understand this. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. Fourth observation is this. Religion sucks the life out of grace, doesn't it? Religion sucks the life out of grace. Well, Matthew left everything, followed Jesus, wrote this gospel, first gospel of Matthew. He only mentions himself twice in the gospel here and in the list of disciples. Matthew shared Jesus throughout Israel and abroad. After he left that tax collector's booth and left everything, he followed Jesus all the way to, church tradition says, being burned at the stake. Gave up his life for Jesus Christ. From that day at the seashore, he lived and died by God's great grace that God had poured out on him. That day, Jesus invited him, follow me. And he left it all to follow him. Matthew's story reminds us that God's grace is sufficient, that God's grace covers every sin. He saved us, right? Sinners to the core. And he wants to extend that grace to everyone we know as we invite people to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Have you followed him, one? And are you willing to share more than great restaurants? Are you willing to share Jesus Christ?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Are you living a life of spiritual transformation? Or do you feel stalled in a dry and lukewarm faith? Well, you can take steps now to energize your walk with Jesus and leave religious pretense behind. That happens when God's Word takes up residence in the deepest recesses of your soul. Start that journey today with Ron Moore's 12-session interactive study titled Living Grounded. Within the 242 pages of this handsome, full-color book, you'll discover the foundational truths of Christianity. Among the many important topics explained in Living Grounded are how to know God's will, how to study the Bible, and how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Living Grounded is available for an online price of just $19.95 when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
God's in a boat with you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he is asking us that same question. Whatever our storm is, why are you afraid? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm going to get you to the other side?
We trust you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember that a copy of Ron's interactive study, Living Grounded, is yours for a gift of just $19.95 at ronmoore.org. Whether you're a new Christian or a believer who wants to make your spiritual foundation sure, you'll grow in Christ with Living Grounded. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed any of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. While there, be sure to look for Ron's online program called The Journey Extra. It's linked at the bottom of our homepage and features Christ-centered conversations that will enrich your spiritual, family, and work life. And if The Journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, tell your friends and family about our program. Also, please keep in mind, The Journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.